Is that loud enough? I think that is loud enough. I think I'm going to sit nice and close, and that's going to be just fine. Or did somebody screw with the settings? Hello and welcome. That's too loud. Hello and welcome. There we go. All right. We did the countdown, right?
Did we?
Yeah, we did. Okay. I'm pretty sure we did.
I can't remember that far back. I've only been recording for 37 seconds, and you'd think I would be able to remember that we did the countdown.
We did it. I'm certain we did it.
45 seconds now.
Awesome. Well, that's it. Let's make it at the 1 minute mark. We will be sure that we did do the countdown.
Okay, get ready. 5, 4.
And that's my minute mark right there. Yeah, now we're at 105.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 394 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
What is going on, Adam?
Just another day in paradise.
Another day. A-dip.
Yeah, just think twice.
Oh, I probably told you on the show a million times. I went to high school with his daughter, right?
I remember you saying something along those lines. Yeah, and I went to school with Anne Murray's son.
That's how we go. Murray's son. I remember the girl. You went to the school with the girl from the show.
The girl from the show.
From Entourage.
Oh yeah, yeah. She, the actual girl. Yeah.
And Anne Murray's son,
Emmanuel Creechy.
The spawn of the snowbird.
Yeah, Will Murray.
Wow.
Not Bill Murray.
His name is Will Murray?
I'm pretty sure it was. Now you're making me second guess myself. We're going to have to Wikipedia.
No, but his name is a question. Why would you name your son a question?
Will Murray?
Will Murray?
that's a good point.
I don't think he will. Oh, yeah. No, I know. I've seen him do it. He'll do it again. Wow.
And I remember some weird story. And again, maybe my brain's not working so well this morning, but something about, I recall a moment in high school where his foot got run over by a car.
Sure.
Yeah. So there you go.
Will
Murray. Yeah. Will Murray's foot break?
Yes, it will.
I think it did.
The answer after this. Wow. Man, every time I break out the Phil Collins story, it's like you got one better.
Yeah, Mr. One-Upper.
Well, mine isn't even... I think mine's more random. Like, you don't expect Phil Collins' daughter to be going to school in Vancouver.
I don't think anyone knows outside of Canada who Anne Murray is.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Canadian icon, though.
And... You go ahead, and if you want to dive into Anne Murray, obviously snowbird. That's what you go with. Start a snowbird. You Are My Sunshine. You won't cry about that.
Right.
Go for the Christmas album.
Okay. All right.
At Christmas, listen to Anne Murray at Christmas. You can't go wrong.
All right.
All right. Well, that took a turn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazon.
Sure.
I'm sure they still sell CDs. If you wanted to get an Anne Murray CD, buy it on Amazon. Click through our site and help us out.
Yeah, there was a big Prime Day thing a week or so ago. I missed out on that.
I bought a couple items.
Oh, there you go.
What did I buy? I bought new headphones.
Ooh.
You know the Bluetooth ones that you put me onto?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate those.
Yeah, me too.
Do you really hate them?
They're in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah, I did not like them. They never, ever, ever fit me. I mean,
well, that's just that they worked fine, but they don't stay in my ears very well.
No, and so I tried all the different sizes. Me and then too. Ultimately, yeah. I tried just smashing them with a hammer, and that brought some joy.
I mean, they were $20 or something. So yeah. It was, but again, I agree. The fit was not good for me. Even though they came with a whole bunch of different sizes, so I thought it was just me. But glad to know that yours didn't fit you either.
No, they did. They did the first day, and then after a while, like you know, one of my things is like if I'm doing dishes or something like that, I'll listen to podcasts. That's my move.
Right.
And I mean, not this crappy show, but
yeah, something good. Something
good. Yeah. And so, but you know, oftentimes it would pop out and then I'd have soapy hands and couldn't pop it back in. So it was just a gong show. So now all the interesting podcast stuff is happening and I can't quite hear it. You know, and I'm just, let's not go down that rabbit hole. Okay.
Sure. Sure.
Point is they're in a drawer somewhere. I didn't smash them with a hammer, but I said, you know what? I kind of like the concept of the Bluetooth ones because often I'll walk around the house wearing shorts that do not have pockets in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. And thus I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. And so there's a company that's been making a lot of audio, like Bluetooth speakers and whatnot, that a friend of mine has one, the Bluetooth speaker, that they are really, really reasonably priced. And he loves it. And so I said, you know what? They're doing well. I'm going to go for it. It's called Anker, A-N-K-E-R.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have some different Anker stuff, wires and adapters and stuff, all from Amazon. So I know the brand.
Yeah. So I bought the Anker. I forget what they're called, the name of the brand. Sound Blast Phone Head USB Bluetooth, I think.
Sure.
Wordy. They must have called it something else because that makes me marbly mouthed.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I bought those for about $20. I think they were $19.99, same deal as the other ones. They are 10 times the headphones that you put me onto.
Okay, so I'm a bad person.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame you. I appreciated your enthusiasm out of the gate.
Yeah.
And I understood. I felt the same way. And then, so we're all good. However, I'm going to go ahead and recommend these, not even as a revenge, just as a, hey, I can vouch for these. I've 3 days in. I love these things.
Okay.
They stay in your ear. They got a cool little feature, like a little rubber actual anchor, it looks like, that makes them stay in your ear. They look way cooler. The other ones did not look that cool. They looked like you got them at Kmart. At Zeller's, they got them at Zeller's, like upstairs near the food fair. And so these ones look really good, and they sound good. I mean, okay. They're $20. What do you want?
Right.
But yeah, they stay in just great. And so get a pair. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'll send you the link of what I did. But buy it through Amazon.
I have a pair of Bose Bluetooth speakers, so I'm not syncing to your you know, cheap nonsense.
Right. Okay. And what are those run you? $260?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get 13 pairs of these. Just leave them at the pool. No, I'm sure. I guarantee the Bose sound better. The end.
Okay.
I also bought an SD card, and the SD cards were on sale for very, very cheap. And as I'm going to mention in 1 second, I did buy that 5D Mark III, the used one, and thus. It takes two cards. It takes the SD card and the CF card. And so I said, you know what? I'm gonna get like a, I forget what it cost. It was about $20 for a 64 gig card, like a fast one, good SanDisk. And I said, I'm going to get one of those. And I'm going to run both.
Good.
And, you know, or one of the other, like, because what one of the things, I like the CF cards much better in life, just more robust, et cetera, et cetera. However, when the laptop has the SD reader built in, that's very, very handy to just pop that in when you're on the go without, you know, you don't have to bring a USB cable and a, you know, and a card reader. Like, it's built right in there. So I believe that's the route I'm going to go. So anyway, I picked one of those up there very cheap on the Prime Day.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, I'll talk a little bit more about the Mark III next week. We got other stuff to talk about this week. But I'll tell you the story of how it all went down. Oh, it's a cliffhanger.
Okay.
So, baseball. Baseball's back on. That's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We play tomorrow, so we got to head out playing that. I think it's the number two team. We're in first place.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, holding steady. And so, we're playing last year's first place team. They went 23-1 last year. We were the one. We were the one team that beat them last year. And so we're playing them tomorrow. We swept them once at home. Now we've got the two games tomorrow. And I had decreed before the season started to our guys, if we sweep these guys, all four games, we eat and drink free.
Mm.
Now, I say free. I think it's going to cost me money.
Right.
I think the free is going to eat it on my end, but I said, yeah, I want to beat these guys bad. So hopefully by now that you're listening to this, that we swept for Buzz.
Okay.
So I haven't played in about 5-6 weeks, though. Like,
oh.
It just, we had time off, and then like last weekend we had a doubleheader, but I was at Goodwood, and so it's just, can't wait to get back into it tomorrow.
Okay.
Only downside is it's a 2.5 hour drive to the game.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's no good. And we usually have the big party bus with the sleepers on it, but for some reason it was double booked and we did not get it tomorrow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sad story.
Yeah.
In other news, I know every parent thinks this, but my son is, I find him to be wicked smart.
Okay.
Like, he's just a smart kid, 4 years old. I mean, I did think that. Let me just preface this by saying I used to think that.
Okay.
Until he decided to stick a screw in the power outlet.
Ooh.
Yeah, he got zapped.
Oh.
He came over to me crying. I didn't even know this happened. He came over crying, and I didn't understand the translation that basically he was saying he got shocked and his arm was hurting. And yeah, for some reason, he decided it would be a good idea because we have the different outlets here, we have the little round ones, right? We don't have the slots like you do.
Right.
So the screw fits in nicely. And for some reason, he thought that would be a good idea. So fortunately, he just got zapped and like his arm was sore and that was it. Like, it was just a jolt. Nothing bad happened. And it scared the hell out of him, which was good.
Yeah.
So, unrelated, I don't know if your kids ever did that.
No. That's not something. They did at one point, I think both kids took a turn when they're about 2 or 3, dropping toys into my subwoofer.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the big, yeah, it's got the
surround system.
Yeah, like it's just the subwoofer's got like a perfect size opening to fit a small toy. So once it goes in, you cannot get it back out. So that was about the closest example, but it did not give them a shock. It just gave Daddy a shock. And eventually, I think, led to the downfall of my subwoofer, which no longer functions. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, it's the same.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it did scare the hell out of me, but... in the end, it worked out. He's okay and scared and won't do it again, I hope. I thought by 4 we were done.
Yeah.
I thought we got past that stage. And, you know, like we never did the child safety plugs in the house because, you know, we just paid attention and told them not to do it. And yeah. So there you go, everybody. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So I think he actually has superpowers now.
Yeah. Electricity man.
Yeah. 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 So, you know. Swings and roundabouts.
Yeah.
All right. And lastly, quick note. This isn't what's going on. I guess it is. I guess it is what's going on. Some of you may have noticed or some of you may have not, and that's kind of the point. I haven't posted anything on Facebook for the last couple of weeks. The last two shows, I normally post, you know, like, hey, coming up on Monday, and then on Monday I post the show notes and that. I didn't do it the last two shows.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it anymore.
You're done with Facebook.
I am absolutely, I've had it with the Facebook. Now, in all honesty, I like our engagement on Facebook has waned. And so, I mean, there is that. There is the, do I see value in it? Like it's not like it takes me a couple of hours to post each week, but it does take time. There is effort involved. And I just saw the engagement dropping off. And so I made the judgment call that it's really not worth it. I mean, ultimately, I mean, part of our show is we do want, you know, listener engagement and interaction amongst each other and et cetera, but it just wasn't happening on Facebook. And I also hate Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Like not even that I hate Facebook, because it's easy to hate Facebook. It's trendy to be pissed at Zuckerberg for whatever nonsense he's doing. But just in general, what Facebook is there's some good stuff. I like some of it, like, you know, catching up with old people I haven't seen in a long time and people who live back in Vancouver and I live here, etc. But in general, Facebook is making me really, really sad just watching the nonsense, watching essentially, I'll go ahead and say it, watching idiots fight with other idiots over nothing is really, really hard. And so I don't want to be part of that anymore. No, I mean, I've never argued on Facebook. I've never bothered to do it or talk politics. This isn't even politics. I don't even care about the politics. It's the arguing over silliness and just the whole separation and everything that's happened. I mean, it has happened because of the political landscape. That is the lightning rod, but I think it would have happened anyway. And without going too far down this rabbit hole, it's just, I hate it.
Okay.
And so that being said, I would still like for us to have a place. I think we talked about this before, a place for our listeners to interact with each other. I just don't know what that is. It's not going to be Facebook. That's okay.
All right.
It never will be. So if you're wondering why I haven't done it, I haven't forgotten. I'm just not doing it anymore.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Go ahead and eat it, Eisenberg? That's the kid who played him, right?
Yeah.
It's weird that Zuckerberg and then Eisenberg. I was going to make a nice joke, and then I realized I was confusing myself with the joke.
Okay.
And not funny. All right. Reminder, monthly photo challenge for this month it's Stranger Portrait, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot when I was writing the show notes. And I thought, oh boy, I hope that's what it is.
Did you do it while you were in Goodwood?
Oh, I should have. Yeah, I guess I did. I guess I did because I didn't know Goldberg. So he was a stranger. No, I didn't. I'm gonna approach somebody in town here and do it. So no, I didn't cheat on that one.
Okay.
Anyway, hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we will check that out.
I'm just going to say right now that I've already done mine. I did mine about a week ago, and mine's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you light it?
Did not.
Okay, I'm going to light mine.
Go for it. I just happened to go out at the exact perfect time.
Okay, so noon on a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right. Yeah. We'll look forward to that. Wow. It's really early. Although
the bar is going to be high. I'm willing to go out on a limb and say one of my favorite photos from 2018.
Oh, wow. And we're halfway through.
Yeah.
We're over halfway through.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll look forward to seeing that.
Yeah. All right. I could be completely tooting my own horn without proper support, but just in my personal opinion, one of my top 10 for 2018.
See, I wish I'd known that now. I wish I'd known you'd already done it because I would have done one at Goodwood.
Okay. Well, you can go back, right?
It's costly.
Or it'd just be an empty guy's field and driveway.
Yeah. What are you doing here, man? So there is that. That's Goodwood's going to be the topic of the show. So we'll get to that later. That's where I was.
Okay.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I did. I have one photo that I took that was interesting this week, and okay. it's not the photo that I want to speak of. I decided that I was going to do a team photo for baseball for my my kids' summer baseball team, and so we play a lot of games at 6 o'clock at night, which by the time it finishes, it's usually about quarter after eight. And so I figured, okay, there was an evening like it's been really nice here and the skies have been clear, so at about 4:30 in the afternoon, I realized that it was just going to be a beautiful evening because there wasn't a cloud to be seen. So I sent out a message to the team just saying, I saw that everyone was going to be at the game. Nowadays, you have an app where people can tell you whether they're going to be at the game beforehand. So I knew I had a full roster, and that didn't happen very often. So I thought, perfect, good opportunity. I'm gonna take the team photo after the game tonight, knowing the field, like we're playing at our home field and where the light's going to go and blah, blah, blah. It's a really easy spot for me to do this. So anyway, so after the game, I wrangled the kids and we did a team photo, 12 kids. I put five kind of on a bottom row, used the 50mm lens on my 6D and snapped, like a really nice photo in almost the exact same spot that I took the photo of Jack, like, I don't know, a couple months earlier, the one that I really liked and had blown up and I used for a photo challenge. Anyways, so, but this time of year, you just get that really nice warm light at 8:15. So it was a great time. Sun's just going down. Perfect magic hour. Took the photo. Where that part, I guess, is you know, maybe marginally interesting, but where the story is interesting is I decided from a convenience standpoint I was going to get it printed once again at London Drugs. Okay, So it was relatively inexpensive for London Drugs because it's just copies of the same photos. So I wanted 5x7s, good size to hand to people. They don't want anything giant. 4x6, a bit small for a team photo. So I decided 5x7, cropped it, you know, sent it to London Drugs, matte finish. And again, I thought, like, based on the image I could see on the screen, I'm like, they can't mess this up.
Right.
Nice golden light. Get the photo back last night, go to pick it up, and it only cost, I want to say, for 12 prints, because the first one's like $1.50, but after that, copies of the same photo are 50 cents. So it wasn't a lot of money. When I was like, say, after tax, it was like $7. Yeah, seven something. So I pick it up, and I'm looking at it in the store, and I'm like, oh no. Like, but then at the same time, you're under weird lights when you're standing at the counter at the photo thing, and I'm looking at it and going, this doesn't look like golden light at all. Not only that, they've also brought up, like, it seems like shadow detail, and it's too bright. Like, it's their faces are too bright, and so it doesn't look like summer ball light at 8:15 at all. Like, not even a little bit. And so I kind of went home and I showed Lisa, and she's like, "Oh, it's fine." I'm like, "But the photo's really good, and now this is just very average, right?" Like, yeah. and so and I spent, you know, like, not a lot of time taking the photo, but I afterwards, like, I added like some logos and font and stuff, and, you know, spent a little bit, probably a half an hour of post-production to make what I thought was going to be a really kind of nice photo, and then just wasn't happy. So anyways, short cut to the short, today I ordered it again from Costco and took off the auto correction, and then I'm gonna compare and see what they give me back. So, and then
if I'm you, what I would do is go right from Costco, if it's good, right in back to London Drugs and just show them and say, is really, what are you doing here?
Yeah. And
what
I think
are you doing?
The part that I, again, I never know whether to do it right or not is whether I take the autocorrect off. But you know how I even calibrated my monitor. I'm looking at it on multiple devices and I'm like, no, it looks good on all. I looked computer, I looked phone, I looked iPad. They all looked good. And then what I got back was something very different and no longer gold. It's like they turned down the gold to make it more bluey, which made it look like their face is totally white versus, you know, the warm tones that you were getting. And it just sucked. It just, the photo just sucked. And
stay gold, pony boy.
Yeah, so we'll see what Costco gives me back. But either way, very, very disappointed. And my wife knows me and she's like, yeah, you're not going to hand that out, are you? And I just can't do it. I can't give that out.
Well, I'm eager to see what Costco does. It's always with the correction. Like, I even though it's weird because I, you know, colorblind guy, I still get the colors. I still know when it's good, nice golden colors. Like I might not know red from green in life, but in a color, in a photo, I can tell when it's nice warm colors.
Right.
And so that I usually get when I hand it off. And so I never want them to correct that. But the only time I ever do want them to autocorrect is sometimes their machines are calibrated low and everything comes out really dark and muddy.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. I took it off, and then with Costco, now my concern is it going to be too dark? Are they going to, because again, you don't know exactly what their profile is. You know what the profile on your monitor is, but you don't know what their profile is. And also,
you don't know. I mean, there used to be a photo professional working back there watching it going, all right, well, he certainly can't want this.
Yeah.
You know, and so I remember I had one shot that I used to get printed a lot. I've sold it and given it away as gifts and stuff like that. And one time it got, like, the very first time I got it printed, it was perfect. So I took it in and went back and said, okay, do me a favor and print it again exactly like this. And they did. And I hung on to that as a reference. And every time I went to get prints made, I would leave that one with them and say, make it look the same.
Right.
And, or at least pretty close. And they did. And so after that, because they had messed it up once or twice. And so that's when I went, no, make it look like this, please.
But it did. And there was even like the sky is a pretty nice tone of blue, and they brought the highlights or the shadows up so much that the sky doesn't even look blue anymore.
Oh yeah.
So it's just like, how could they think that that's what I wanted?
I don't think they were paying attention.
Yeah. And then I thought I could just take it back to London Drugs, but I hate them so much, I don't even want to deal with them. And so I'll only deal with them if Costco messes it up too.
I would love it if Costco nails it, and then you have to go back, wait in line, hopefully on a crowded Saturday, and go to the front and then just carefully lay all 12 out end to end on the counter. And don't explain yourself, just make the guy sit and watch you painfully slow, lay them all out, and then show him the good one and just say, "What you doing?"
I'm actually going to show you. I don't have permission of everyone on the team to post this photo, so I don't think I can show it to everybody, but I'm going to send it to you. And the other thing that is remarkable is the fact that there's 12 kids here and almost every kid has a nice smile. I don't even know statistically what the odds are of 9-year-olds getting getting pretty good 11 out of 12, I'm going to say.
It's astronomical.
Yeah, it just shouldn't happen. And I literally just machine gun fired once I got them set up right, probably 20 photos, because some of them close their eyes, some of them turn and look in the wrong direction. And I'm pretty sure I only got one out of that 20 in the matter of, I don't know, a minute where I just machine gunned it, that where they're actually all pretty much looking good. So that's why I was so happy with the photo. The light's good. And then everyone's pretty much looking and smiling.
But the one kid who's not looking is not your son.
No, my son's looking. He has a big, big, big grin on his face.
That's what I mean. But even if he wasn't, if he was blinking, you'd be like, well, we're not using that photo.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry. I'm picking the one where, A, first, my priority goes, like, if I'm in the photo, I'm like, all right, first of all, A, do I look like $1 million? And the answer is obviously yes.
Right.
So I pick that. And then, okay, next up are my kids. How do they look? Okay, they look good. Then the rest of the kids, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care if they all look like they're mid-sneeze. It's like, no, I look great, okay? If you don't like it, you be the photographer.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
I agree. 100%.
All right. So I shot a bunch of stuff. Whether it's interesting or not, I'll let you be the judge or the listener. And you can post stuff on Facebook and I'll never read it. So we had last week the game I missed, like just the night before I had to leave for Goodwood. We had to do a shot the cover for that week's magazine.
Right.
And so... that's what the hot for teacher is.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on this?
I can't see it right now.
Okay. Well, it's in the Dropbox.
Okay. All right. I'll try to find it. You just scat while I'm talking.
Adam's right clicking on photos.
I'm trying to find it. What episode is this?
394. I even did them all in like sections so that we talk about them. So this one is
okay. I got it. I got it. I'm looking at it real time. Hot for teacher. I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Okay, besides what you like it. Okay, that's obviously you like it because I'm amazing. But what's going on here?
There's a lot of fire, flames.
A lot of fire because he's hot.
Yeah, he's hot. He's got an apple for his teacher.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. He's our head coach and our game two starter, and he throws a pretty mean fast. He throws the hardest fastball in the league.
Okay.
So he probably throws, I think he's topped out on the radar gun to 89 this year. He's probably gone over. He's probably gone over 90 when he's not in the gun.
Okay.
I mean, odds are, because he can really bring it. And so he throws the heater. So I thought, okay, great. You know, what's the theme here? And I'm going to sell him out a little bit because he's not listening to the show. He originally had pitched me the idea he was going to do the Nuke LaLouche pitching naked in the garter belt and jockstrap.
Oh, wow.
He had suggested that early on in the season, and I said, you got it. He said, I need some time to get into shape, though.
Yeah, that's a Bull Durham reference for those playing at home.
And so I said, well, okay, you go ahead and get into shape. And then he decided that no. I'm not getting the shape. And I said, you still got to do it. I mean, like he's in good shape, but he's not in, you know, like 2% body fat good shape.
Right, but neither was Nuke LaLouche.
Well, he was pretty thin, but that's the thing. And so anyways, I said,
He was skinny fat.
Yeah, I tried to explain to our pitcher here, Alex, that I said, it's actually funnier if you're like in top notch shape, like you're just chiseled. If you have an 8-pack, it's not that cool that you take your shirt off. It's kind of narcissistic.
Yes, agreed.
So you'll get a lot more run on the ball here if you are, you know, entering dad bod area.
Right.
People will think that's great. And so he disagreed. And so the last minute, and I was like, we need a cover, man. I gotta leave tomorrow morning. All right, on your way over to my house in the bus, I will think of a topic. And so I said, all right, we're getting the smoke machine out, obviously, because mm-hmm. that's what you use. And just bare flash on that, full CTO on the main flash, which was all my backup stuff, because I'd already packed all my A equipment to go with me
right
to London. And so just, but threw a full CTO on it. That therefore the background became blue. I just balanced for the CTO on him, and then added the flames and post. I'd actually already had that all dialed in on his way over, and just popped the picture and snapped the photo and threw it right in here. But I said, okay, we're gonna go with the theme, you know, sort of the Phil. You're gonna look like Phil from the Hangover, that kind of teacher.
Yeah,
sort of undone shirt. And your fastball is an apple because you're a teacher.
Right.
There you go. So hence, and he's also a teacher.
Right.
He teaches English. That was kind of, I should have opened with that part.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, aside from the graphics, this is all right out of camera, strictly because I had no time and also because I like doing that better.
Yeah, it looks good, like I said.
And this is the classic, the 5D classic, because I had not bought the... No, I had bought the Mark III, but I'd already packed it, and so I didn't want to disrupt it. All right, and then I wanted to take the Mark III out for a little dance before I took it to Goodwood, and so there's a shot of my son, sort of on a nice kind of overcast day in the wheat fields there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing remarkable about this except for it was nice light, and so I said, you know, have fun with that. That is pretty much out of camera. I like when the light looks like that.
Yeah, no, it looks good. It actually looks more like the 5D Classic, that photo.
Which is why I didn't buy the Sony.
Okay.
It's exactly why. And so I'm glad to hear you say that and kind of reaffirm my whole neurosis from 2 weeks ago. But there's that. All right, next shot, little blue and the orange. That's what the Mark III as well. I just shot
that. Yeah, that one looks more digitally perfect.
It does. It does. That's a product of the hard light. We actually were heading out to do something else, and then all of a sudden the rain just started to hit. And so instead of hiking out to make a cool shot, I just posed the kids in the front yard, stood them up on a lawn chair to make sure they can get up high enough to the sky. The clouds would be in the background. Just a quick CTO and off-camera flash, and that was it. So that was kind of fun, but not the greatest. And then the next one, my son, hands in pockets, that's the X100.
Okay. Yeah, that looks good, too.
Yeah, just had some cool light and brought a flash and just kind of feathered it across him. Again, a hard light. And dropped the saturation a little bit. And then the last one, I just took the... it was Mark III with the white background, so... I had set it up for a studio shoot and said, all right, buddy, downstairs. And my daughter lost her front tooth last week, and so I actually snapped a photo of her, but I don't think she wanted me to post that. So anyways, that's the Mark III, which, again, we'll talk about next week. Okay. All right. Photo challenge. Cars. Strictly lined up, teed up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was going to the Festival of Speed, and there'd be cars everywhere. But here's the irony of it. I'm like was it the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner? Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink.
Okay.
So there's cars everywhere, and it's just an amazing thing, except for I'm there to shoot video primarily. And so I actually literally had no time to just wander off and go and shoot an awesome photo of a car,
mm-hmm.
which is not an excuse. I kind of like my photo, but just, you know, it's not what you expected. Maybe you'd expected a portrait of Nick Mason's 1962 Ferrari. I did not have time for that.
Okay.
I did see it. The car estimated at, like, they're saying if he sold it, it might fetch $80 million.
Wow.
For a car.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I touched it.
Cool.
Not really. So, anyway.
Someone yelled at,
don't touch that car. No, they don't care, man. Goodwood, you're fine. But, well, the McLarens, I think you can't. You're not supposed to touch. Like in the auction house, too. You're not supposed to touch, but. Anyways, all right, so I'll go first. Here's my shot of director Nate Adams in front of Corolla's Newman Porsche in front of the Goodwood sculpture. And those are real Porsches up in the sky. Real Porsches hanging from that sculpture way up there in the sky at Goodwood.
Cool.
I don't think you appreciate how cool it is. Real. Yeah. Porsches.
That's cool.
The base of that pole, you can literally wrap your hands around. It's that narrow at the base.
Yeah, I guess it's the perspective or how high up those cars are, but it just doesn't look like anything.
It doesn't. You have to be there. And I struggled because I wanted to shoot that. I really wanted to shoot that sculpture, and I was there a couple of years ago, and the sculpture, I think it was Audi, I forget now, but the sculpture was amazing as well. They really put on a big show, and I thought, how do you shoot this? Like, how do you legitimately put this in perspective? Because you can't just zoom in and shoot it, because it doesn't look like anything. But if you go wide, you kind of lose the immensity of it. Not a word. That's not a word, is it?
Sure, it is now.
Yeah. So anyways, Nate wanted a photo. This is when we're kind of parked in between runs out on the lawn and big photo op thing. He said, yeah, get a shot of me in the car. And so I did, and I got that thing in the background. I don't know how I could have really done this justice.
Yeah, I think it's a tough spot, and it's obviously a tough time of day too, right? So,
oh my goodness, that's when they ran. They ran right in the middle of the day.
Yeah. No, and again, it is a cool shot, and I'm sure he really appreciates it. And like you say, I think you did the best you could given the variables that you're working with here. I honestly don't have anything constructive to say, I think you could have made it better. I don't think I could have done any better either. So it's just, just the perspective is about, I think, the best you could have done.
Okay.
Yeah. It's again, not having been there, I see this photo and then I just kind of look at it and go, it's cool, right? It's but fine. Not, again, yeah. It's yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
You really do need to see it. All right, let's have a look at yours. Okay, he's not old enough to drive.
Yeah, he's not.
Have you had him drive on your lap?
No.
Pardon?
That's kind of dangerous.
I was kind of joking. I assumed you probably had.
No, are you kidding? No way.
Okay.
I'm a safety guy.
Oh my. Okay. Yeah. Well, both my kids have done it.
Wow.
Like wow. When they were two.
That's kind of weird. I don't.
Autobahn.
I'm gonna say the bulk of North Americans have not let their kids do that, but I could be wrong. People can
what?
Can weigh in on this. I guess if
now
you
I
live
have to go back on Facebook and have a poll.
Yeah, I think if you live in. The country, then absolutely. But for city dwellers like myself, I don't think people are doing this.
Okay, I need to hear. I'm reaching out to the listeners. I need to hear it. A, did you do it as a kid, and how old were you? B, do you let your kids do it? And not even let. I make my kids do it.
Wow. All right.
I mean, I wait till after they've sobered up a little bit. But
right.
I'm not an animal.
Yeah.
But okay, wow. Okay, so what's going on here? You lit this.
Yeah, so I have my wife standing in front of the vehicle with a flash and an umbrella and that's it. I didn't have a cool card, a photo. I was not going to let my kid take this for a spin around the block. So he's sitting in the driver's seat of the Honda Pilot. And I basically, just snapped a few photos. He had different expressions, but I liked this one the best, which was kind of a, hey, I'm not supposed to be doing this kind of look.
Yep.
And that's like it. Very, very simple photo. And the end.
it is very simple. And now here's the deal. I feel like if we're just objectively, I feel like my photo edged you out. However, just barely, and I shot a $5 million car in front of an amazing sculpture. And so that's a Pyrrhic victory, man.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Topic this week is I'm going to talk a little bit about the Festival of Speed shooting at Goodwood this year. It was awesome. I made notes. Where do you want to start? What do you want to know? What do you want to know about?
I want to know about Goldberg.
The airport pickup?
No, just Goldberg.
No, I'll get to Goldberg. He's day two. I flew into Heathrow from Stuttgart, and Adam Carolla and Matt DeAndrea flew in from Los Angeles into Heathrow. So I timed it so that I would arrive, you know, hopefully, you know, half an hour before them, but really turned out like 3 hours before them. And so I said, for listeners of the Adam Carolla show, I was in touch. I was talking with Adam's assistant, Matt Fondelier, and said, hey, listen, I'll be getting in early rather than waiting for them at, you know, the arrivals terminal and then catching the shuttle bus out and getting the rental van, et cetera, you know, rental car. Why don't I go get it early and I can just then just pick them up right at, like, just pull right to the curb and we can get out of there early. And they said, you betcha, Tiger. Let's do that. So I did. I went out there to the rental place, assuming Matt had put it on his credit card. He had not. Or they would not let him. And so I had to pay for it.
Awesome.
Which was, yeah. I was like, okay, wow. So I just, okay, I'll let my wife know. And I remember when Adam got in the car and he asked about it. I told him, no, and I had to pay for it. And he said, don't worry, we'll get you back pretty close to whole.
That's awesome.
Hey, there you go. So anyway, so I went and picked him up. And for those of you listening who have picked people up at Heathrow, what a gong show that is. Trying to pick somebody up. Like you pick somebody up from Vancouver Airport. It's not a delightful experience.
Right.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Now, what's your move when do you ever do the airport pickup?
Oh yeah, I do it all the time, yeah.
What's your move? I'm going to hip you to you might know the move.
We have a specific meeting point, my wife and I. So often it's like she has to go somewhere for work. And so, you know, I do the pickup when she gets back. And we have a very specific spot, which is just at the very furthest end of where you could possibly pull a car to the side, which is well after where everybody else does their pickup. We go to that spot. I swing by, I pull the car over, you know, 16 inches so people can get by, and then she jumps in and we go. It's pretty awesome.
And that's at the domestic arrivals though.
Yes, yeah. That's usually. The domestic. Yeah, usually be, yeah, I can't think of an international.
So here's although, my
actually
move.
Actually last time was international.
Okay. So here's my move. And this is patented move. It's not my move. I took it from somebody else, gave it to me. Evidently they're onto it at Heathrow though, is you tell your pickup, go upstairs to departures. Departures is wide open. Like there's no one hanging around. They drop people off and leave. Right. Whereas arrivals is a gong show.
Right.
So you do the pickup at departures. And so you pull over, there's no one hassling you. Easy peasy. Japanese-y. That's okay. The quote from, Shawshank. And so anyways, that was not necessarily our agreed upon move at Heathrow, because I don't know Heathrow at all. And so it turns out if you go to just a regular pickup at Heathrow, it's four pounds just to pick somebody up.
Wow.
Like, yeah, that doesn't sound good at all, which I ended up paying by accident because I went the wrong way the first time and had to get out. I was like, oh, I'll get out of here. Oh, no, £4 just to get out. It's awesome. So that was £4 for nothing. I'm going to put that on the bill for them to almost pay me. And so anyway, I loop around, go back up, and then find out Adam and Mather. Oh, yeah, we're up. We're actually in departures. And so everywhere along at Heathrow, they have signs saying no pickups, £40 fine for picking somebody up here.
Wow.
So they don't allow the at-rich move.
Right.
And now I'm worried because there's Adam standing there, and I have to pull over and pick them up and hopefully don't get nicked by the bobbies.
Yeah.
And we managed. It worked out okay.
Okay. Is this, are you going to now move on to the Goldberg stories?
Goldberg's coming up.
Okay, all right.
So we managed to get down. We leave there. Now, here's the deal. I show up and Mr. Fondelier has booked a car for us, and it's like half a little Austin Mini. Like, it's just the tiniest little car.
Right.
For three people and their luggage, and then a fourth guy coming back with us on the way home. And I thought, this is not going to happen. So I have to negotiate. I have to go make the judgment call about, you know, no, we need to get an SUV here. We can't drive this. It's not possible.
Right.
So I go ahead and make that decision. But no, it's above my pay grade. So now they're out of automatic transmissions. Now, I'm a manual guy. Like, I drive a manual, like a stick shift normally. However, I sit on the left side of the car and drive on the right side of the road normally.
Right.
And so in my head, having never really driven on the left hand side of the road, I'm like, all right, maybe I'll just deal with one thing at a time.
Right.
Get an automatic. Nope, only manual. And the manual, and I knew this going in, the manuals are the same manual transmissions as we have. So you start in the same spot, but first gear is up top left.
Right.
And you shift into yourself as you shift down, or shift up, whatever. And so that's something to get used to really quickly when you have the professional driver / chirper, the professional chirper sitting next to you just beaking you the whole way.
Right.
So that's delightful. So I'm the driver now. Like, it wasn't even a matter of, I'll get the car and then here you go, Adam, you drive. It's, no, Alan, you're driving me this weekend. Okay, there you go. That's awesome. So I have the destination all punched into the GPS in the car, but Adam, he's a Waze guy. So he's got Waze, but he can't get it up and running. So meanwhile, he still wants to go, so I'm just following the GPS. But then he gets Waze going, and they're arguing. Like, not like the Waze and the GPS are just arguing over which way to go. While I drive on the wrong side, shift on the wrong side, and all these kind of roundabouts that are just, I'm not used to.
Right.
And he's just chirping me. Like, just, it's awesome. It's like if you listen to the show, yeah, that was what was happening in real time. Anyway.
Yeah.
Goldberg. No, not Goldberg yet. So we managed
You made it, yeah.
We made it down there. I only hit three curbs.
Okay.
Yeah, for real. Kiss the curb a couple times. They put them right next to the road. I don't know if you knew that. And they're right there. But, yeah. So anyway, so we get down there, and then it turns out I have to drop them off. I'm like, all right. I thought maybe we'd go to the Airbnb where I'm staying with the crew, and he would take the car, and I'd just see him at the track. And no. So Nate Adams, the guy, the director, Nate Adams, there in the picture, he had rented an Airbnb, like, essentially on the, like, 5 minutes from the track, like, really, really close. It's very, very handy. Except for Adams' hotel was like 15, 20 minutes away. So now every morning I had to basically leave the track, drive 20 minutes, pick him up, drive back to the track.
Yes.
Thrilled. Awesome. Yeah, there you go. But it worked out okay.
Okay, so now outside of being the driver, tell us about your photo-related duties or video-related duties that you were there for.
Yeah, so at the time, going in, I didn't really know what we were shooting. And so it turns out it's shooting a bunch of different projects. It's for I'm going to say Car and Driver magazine. Or does that sound right?
Sure.
Yeah, you don't know.
There is a magazine. That's a magazine.
Yeah, there is. I forget what it is. It was a bunch of videos for a social media platform sponsoring it. And then Car and Driver, I think. And so it's a bunch of different things. We're doing a bunch of different segments, basically, about, you know, interviewing different people, you know, about the Goodwood experience and kind of going around. And so it was all kinds of stuff. But the idea was, hey, you're going to shoot video. Oh, and we want you to shoot stills as well.
Okay.
It's like, well, I don't want to be difficult. Obviously, the last thing I wanted to do is be difficult in a situation. But those are two different things. You know, it's like, well, yeah, we want you to shoot nice close-ups of the video. Like, when we're shooting, there was two other cameramen there.
Okay, yeah.
So basically, we were doing three camera shoots on these interviews, and I was like, well, okay, so here, we want you to shoot close-ups of this guy, or you either shoot close-ups of Adam or the guy he's talking to. And then meanwhile, just, you know, shoot some stills in between. Like, well, but my camera's set up for video. So it's very, very difficult. That's why I said it's water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. It was very difficult to shoot stills, which I still did. I still did whenever I could. But you're running around, like, you're going, like, this race, it's not a typical race. It's a time trial up the hill,
right,
called the hill climb. And so the way it works is everybody, like, there's different run groups, and Adam was in the Porsche run group because this is the 70th year of anniversary of Porsche, and so they kind of were the main sponsor of this race. And so he was one of the highlight cars among some other amazing automobiles. And I'm not even a car guy, but even I could appreciate how awesome these things were. And so anyway, so he would run at like 12:30, come back down the hill, and then have a little photo shoot in front of the Goodwood House, which you don't normally do. And then they take them back up the hill and race them again.
Okay.
And so what you do is, so everyone's in the paddock. They have all the cars are parked under this little, you know what a paddock is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, all the people you can walk around, spectators can walk around and go see the cars and meet the drivers usually and the mechanics. And that's pretty awesome. So what they do is they get all the group together. It's okay, you're the 12:30 group. At around noon, everybody assembles and starts slowly driving, you know, through the paddock, through all the crowd, down to this marshalling area. When they get them all together, everybody revs their engines, goes nuts, right? Now, mm-hmm. The spectators can't go there. They're only outside looking in, but because I'm with the car and I have a press pass, like, I have pretty much free rein to go almost anywhere except the driver's club. So I get to basically go under the ropes and go down and kind of shoot in the marshalling area.
Okay.
And from there, they all drive down. Then they then drive down to the start of the track, the down the bottom of the hill where the start line is, and they get everybody lined up there. So what I can do then is jump in one of the support vans, which you're not supposed to do, but they let me do it, and drive down there. So I'm at the start line with all these cars just going nuts. And it's kind of, so, you know, there's a lot of hurry up and wait going on. So I kind of try to shoot a little video of that. And then that's when I try to grab some stills, which I think I posted. If you look on, I'm posting some random photos. There's some in the paddock. There's some of Matt getting Adam ready in his hands device just in the marshalling area.
Mm-hmm.
You see him in the balaclava inside the car.
Yeah.
And then a little ways down.
Oh, I didn't Goldberg. Post any. Goldberg.
There's Goldberg. Yeah.
Two of Goldberg.
There's a couple Goldberg. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was a highlight, definitely. So anyway, so I go down there and we shoot a little bit, and then off they go. They run up the hill. But they run up the hill and stop. So it's not like they come around like in a regular racetrack where you can catch, maybe Adam does the race, you can catch him come by 10 times and grab 10 different shots. You get one shot at it and that's it. Like, you can't be in two places at once.
Right, right.
And so we have three cameras and we try to spread everybody out on different parts of the track to make sure that we can cover every possible angle. And he runs four times while we're there.
Right.
And so we try to make sure we catch 12 different shots to piece them together.
Gotcha.
And the weather was all the same. Actually, the weather was amazing.
Oh, that helps, yeah.
Yeah, so it was, for the most part, you know, you could, it'll all cut together as if it's one run if we want it to be, or we can split it up, it doesn't matter. And so that's generally how that goes. And then they would go down and park in front of the house and do a big photo shoot. And we interviewed the guy who just won Le Mans with the Porsche, the pink Porsche that they had painted up like a pig. All the different cutlets painted on the sides.
Right.
Which apparently is a very famous old-time car. Saw there was a car that the guy drove. Again, this is for car guys. You have to know, like, the car that set the record of the Nürburgring semi-recently, I believe. That was there. That was in Adam's group. That was just an amazing automobile. One of the ones that it doesn't race in any races because there's no regulations on it.
Gotcha.
So they can't actually race it, but they just lit it up. So you can go see the video. I recommend checking out the video of the guy setting the record at the Nordschleife and the Nürburgring. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But that car was right there. We talked to him, and then they quickly run him back out and up the hill, down the hill, and boom, off they go and run. And that's that. And then we kind of go around and do a bunch of segments and interview a bunch of people. Went to Bonham. Bonham's auction, where they have they sell all these amazing cars. And as we walked in, I walked in just as somebody had put the winning bid of £2.1 million on. I think it was an Aston Martin.
Wow.
Which is a lot more money than I would have spent.
Right.
But then we walked around and shot a bunch of the exotic cars and did some segments on that. But Goldberg, as you wanted to know, Goldberg was there. He races trucks, as you'd expect.
Right.
Like NASCAR trucks. And so he was over there racing, not his own truck, apparently. That was the thing. So he's over there racing. As we pull in day one, we're driving in Friday morning. I'm driving in. I'm rolling into the parking lot. And Matt says, holy, I just saw there's a NASCAR truck up on a flatbed, just wrecked. I hope it's not Goldberg's, because there's only two of them there.
Right.
There's all kinds of cars. There's just, you name it. There's motorcycles. There was an autonomous car, like a robot car. It drove itself, which we didn't really get to see much of. But sure enough, Goldberg had just crashed, like day one of the festival. And so he came by. He's friends with Adam and Matt. They do a show together. And so he came by the paddock and was a little bit rattled that he'd crashed. But so we interviewed him, and then later on the next day or 2 days later, went by where his paddock was, where his truck was under wraps because it was still wrecked. He couldn't. It was wrecked so bad. I think you can see it on YouTube. His crash.
I watched it. Yeah.
Okay. Now it doesn't look. It doesn't look tremendously. You know, big fiery crash, but it did enough damage that it just they couldn't get the car back in the race.
Right.
So anyway, so he came around and we interviewed him, and I'd heard ahead of time that he's a nice guy. Does not do him justice. I don't think I have ever met a nicer individual than Goldberg.
There you go. Well, what about me?
No, okay. Not even close. Goldberg. Like this guy, honest to God, I was not. I'm not a wrestling guy. I know who Goldberg is, obviously, and been in movies, and you know, I know that he's a very famous dude. And he and everybody at the track knew he was famous. Like he was pretty much mobbed, and not Keanu mobbed, but a lot of people coming by while we were there. And he made time for every single person.
You know what he didn't make time for?
What's that?
Sleeves.
No, he did not. No, but
I don't think I'd ever wear sleeves either if I had if I had guns like he does. Yeah.
No, he does have the guns, and so there's a couple of pictures up there of him coming by and talking at the car. He even helped. That's how cool he was when Adam came back from one of his races. You have to back the car in to the little slip there. Well, you don't back it up; you push it back because it's the way the car is geared and the engine, etc. It's really hard to just back it up into that spot. So you have a couple people pushing it, and Goldberg shows up as that's happening. It runs over and just starts. He starts pushing the car in. Could have done it by himself, really.
Probably, yeah.
Instead of steering, just picked the thing up and put it in there. But, but no, he. So while we were over there at his paddock, there's kids coming up, and he would see the kids coming up, and he would basically like the kids would be sheepish and like you know have pictures for him to sign or whatever. And he would basically run over and, hey, can I get in here, man? And just made everybody feel like it was their day.
That's awesome, yeah.
And I just can't say enough about, like, I didn't, you know, like, I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I'll bet you Adam's son, well, forget Adam's son, but yeah, Adam's a huge fan.
Yeah.
But, like, what was I going to do? Get like, can you get a picture of me so I can send it to Jack?
Yeah, I showed him the picture that you posted, the one that of Adam and Matt. And I showed it to Jack, and he's like, Goldberg, what's up? What? Why are you showing me this photo of Goldberg? And I'm like, oh, Al took that photo. He's like, why isn't Al in the photo?
Well, I take the pictures, man.
Yeah, that's what I told him. He's like, oh, that's so cool. But I'm like, I don't think it really hit home because of the fact that you weren't in the photo. If you were in the photo, you'd be his new idol.
I thought about getting a photo, and I was like, well, I don't know. It's a weird situation because you know, like, obviously I know who he is, but the only reason I'd get a photo is to prove to other people that I met him, and I didn't really care about that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, like, if you're going to rank Jack's favorite wrestlers all time, I'm pretty sure Goldberg's number one.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is probably his favorite wrestler all time. So, and again, he's a big wrestling fan. I'm also a big wrestling fan, also a big Goldberg fan. So I saw that. I was like, oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. And I'm not really like a fanboy of anything, but I'd be pretty stoked to see Goldberg at an event like that.
Well, that's a couple of the other cameramen. There's guys are a little bit younger. I think one guy was like 30, and we didn't know Goldberg was coming, or I did because I was in the car with Adam, and he was talking like, oh yeah, we'll meet Goldberg later. And Goldberg does a podcast with Matt, so they
a car podcast, right? Carcast or something,
right?
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, so we're talking in the car. So on the way in, it's like, oh yeah, we got Goldberg later. He'll come by and we'll go see him, et cetera, et cetera. So I knew, but one of the other cameramen, like as he rolled up, he says to me, he's like, is that Goldberg? And I was like, yeah, that's Goldberg. And he's like, he's my hero as a kid. Like I'm watching my childhood in front of me right now.
Yeah.
And this is a guy like this, these guys that these are British dudes that the other cameramen. And they've worked on some amazing stuff. Like I know, like one guy was like, yeah, he did a project with Messi, the soccer player, like last year and stuff. And so they meet some amazing people. But he was legitimately like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm standing in front of Goldberg. And I can tell you, and I'm really, really pleased to say that he did not disappoint. Like we saw him on, I guess, three different days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And each day he was just at 110% and just an amazing dude.
Cool.
So yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. I'm officially jealous. If Adam Carolla and Goldberg were standing side by side, I would ask Adam to hold my drink while I shook Goldberg's hand. Yeah.
You say, hey, let me get a photo. And Adam goes to pose. You're like, no, you snap it, dude.
This is Adam, Goldberg. Can you get a photo? This is Goldberg here. Yeah.
Yeah. That's well. I'll tell you what. I will reach out. I'll talk to Matt, and I just talked to Matt an hour ago. So I'll talk to Matt again, and I'll see. I'm pretty sure and get him to sign something for Jack.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah.
Don't tell Jack yet. We'll make his ones.
No, if it falls through, then I'll be super disappointed. Yeah.
what you want one too?
yeah. If you can just send it to Jack, but address it to my best friend Adam.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will. I will see. Yeah. I'll talk to. I know Matt's in Italy still, so when he gets back, I'll get on that. But one of the days, before we wrap this up, and if there's any more questions people have, they're free to ask, and I'll let you know, because it was a great experience all around. This event is just it's amazing. As I said, I'm not really a car guy. Like I like cars, I can gap my own spark plugs, so I do have a working knowledge of automobiles, but I'm not a car guy like these guys are, but being in an event like this is just amazing. Like hearing the cars, seeing them. We went and talked to, we didn't talk to Nick Mason, the drummer for Pink Floyd. He raced on Saturday. We went and went by Sunday. He'd already gone, but we sat down and talked about his $80 million Ferrari with the guy driving it. And just seeing that, it's like, all right, I don't know about $80 million, but it's an amazing machine. And so if you ever get a chance to go to it, if you like cars, you have to go to this event. It is absolutely amazing. And even if you don't like cars, if you're in the neighborhood, like if I was you, I wouldn't fly over from Vancouver just for it.
Right.
But if you can get out there, definitely go out there and wander around and see the machines there. Fantastic. But day one, this was one of my highlights for me, of many, obviously Goldberg being the big one, but go to pick Adam up at the hotel, and so he's like, all right, yeah, come by at 9:30, come get me. Like, you got it. So I get there at 9, make sure, you don't want to be late first day. And he comes walking out in his driver suit.
Okay.
And I was like, what do you do? Like, they have a change room there, you know? And comes rolling out, and I was like, so my joke was, you got your skate guards on? Like, so I call him, hey, skate guards, Corolla, let's go. So his name that day, he didn't really understand the joke, but I called him Skate Guards for
right. That's that a Canadian morning. Reference. Yeah, if he hasn't played hockey, he wouldn't follow that reference.
No, no. So he just punched me in the face. Called it even.
Right. Yeah.
And then their highlight actually was on day one. It was like, all right, we're not ready to shoot just yet, but we need to detail the car. So I ended up rubbing down the car and cleaning the windshield. So I posted a picture of that. That's the kind of stuff you do on jobs like this. Is like you don't have a job description. It's like you're shooting video, you're shooting stills, you're going over to the Porsche guys and talking to them in German, so they'll give you some Windex and some rags, because of course the guy with the $5 million car brought neither.
Right.
And so go do that. Snapped a selfie at the start line. Have to do that to prove I was there. Let's see what else we got. Just a couple of random photos. Photo of Adam's car in front of the Goodwood house, which is a pretty cool spot. That was kind of fun because that was the photo op between runs. And so massive crowd of people, like they have it all barriered off. You can't just walk in there. It was for VIPs only, right? So massive crowd of people circling that driveway. And I had basically shot the race, and then Adam had pulled in. So I have to kind of make my way over there and just do the excuse me, coming through, like through this massive crowd of people, like rings of people, like 15 deep, trying to like holding their cameras up over their heads, just trying to get shots of these cars. And they're looking at me like, where do you think you're going? You know? So I get at the front, just duck under the rope, flash my press pass and boom, right in. So that's kind of the fun part of that.
Cool. Yeah. No, it all looks good. I'm sort of clicking through the photos and yeah, they look good. It all looks good.
It was a good time. And then the last day, the Sunday, I go to go to pick up Adam at the hotel. And as I'm walking up, I was like, I know that guy. Like I you can't mistake that guy. And sure enough, I walk up, and before I can say anything, he just turns to me. Richard Petty, NASCAR famous NASCAR driver Richard Petty, just turns to me and says, "Hey, how you doing?" Like, pretty good, Richard Petty. Do you know Richard Petty?
Well, I definitely know the name. I'd have to see the photo. Like, I'm thinking, like, the guy that would stick out to me that is very recognizable as far as a race car driver would be Dale Earnhardt. And so I'm thinking,
if I saw him, that would be more of a story.
Yeah, but Richard Petty, I'm just
dead.
I just mean as far as like a recognizable race car face. I think I'd recognize Mario Andretti, Dale Earnhardt. Uh-huh. I'm not sure if I would recognize Richard Petty. I'm not enough of a race car enthusiast.
I think you would, because it's like, okay, are you going to play Burt Reynolds, or is Burt Reynolds going to play you?
Okay. All right.
Very, very skinny Burt Reynolds.
Okay.
But I probably was. Oh, you couldn't miss him because first of all, you're in the English countryside in Chichester, and there's a guy in the black jeans and the cowboy boots and the cowboy hat. Like he was the greatest Richard Petty impersonator, except it was Richard Petty.
Cool.
And I was like, wow, like what? Like I was like, I knew he was going to be at the race. I just didn't know he'd be staying in Adam's, like, because Adam was staying in a very small hotel, this little inn in the middle of nowhere, right? And so I was like, wow, like I think there's 20 rooms. And so, like, wow, I did not know you'd be here and you get to meet you. It was kind of cool. You know, interestingly enough, he was not in his skate guards.
Okay.
Yeah, he just got dressed at the track. Although I don't know if he ran or not, but he definitely was there. But anyway, so on Sunday we skipped the races. Adam couldn't run. We had to make a mad dash for Heathrow, and which we did. Recorded a podcast in the car on the way back, and I hit no curbs, so no chirping during that part of the trip.
Awesome.
And in the end, this is the part that I always kind of find funny, is that get the rental car. And the guy, I have no idea. I just show up and get what we get, right? And then upgrade the car. The guy says, "All right, well, you have no insurance. Do you want insurance?" I said, "I don't think Adam is an insurance kind of guy." And so I check with Nate, who's already like Adam's in the air flying in at this point. So I can't get in touch with him. I get in touch with Nate, and Nate says, "Yeah, no insurance. Adam doesn't do insurance." It's like nothing. And the guy looking at me like, okay, this has never been done before. I don't know what you're doing here. You have zero insurance. So if you wreck the car, he's responsible for the full cost of the car, I guess. So here I am driving around the countryside, not knowing, with the guy chirping me, and there's zero safety net. So So that was a little bit nerve-wracking. Till I find out that Adam's running his $5 million plus Porsche up the hill with no insurance.
Yeah, so.
So he didn't, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was Goodwood. They should just change the name to Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldwood.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'll be there next year. I think it's an event that he likes to frequent.
Yeah, maybe Gold Woodberg. Goldberg Wood.
I'll talk to the Duke of Richmond and see if we can work that out.
Okay. All right.
So anyways, reminder, the monthly challenge for July is Stranger Portrait. Now that I would have used the Goldberg one, except for now we're best pals.
Your buddies. Yeah, your buddies.
I call him Bill. I call him Bill.
Okay.
Because that's his name, Bill. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge or hashtag hey hosers on Instagram and we'll check that out. Challenge for next week. I'm leaving this entirely up to you because A, you change your schedule this week for me, and B, I teed it up for cars last week and you went along with it. So is there anything you want to shoot? What's going to make your life easier?
I wish I would
have challenge.
Had the head up. Yeah, that would definitely work. I wish I had a heads up to have thought about this. I just usually just wait for you to issue the challenge.
I know.
So you caught me a little bit off guard. Do you have anything in mind and you're just saving it for when I stumble to think of an idea?
I didn't think of anything. I right now, this is the way I've been shooting, like in the evening and stuff like that. I'm loving the long lens, the 200 mil. So I don't want to say 200 mils because I want other people to, no one else is doing it. You want to just say 200 millimeter?
Sure.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, sounds good. 200 love millimeter.
All right, that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to shoot that with my 85.
Or just like, how about like long zoom or zoomed in or like for anyone else, we'll
telephoto.
Shoot 200. Yeah, we'll shoot 200 millimeter, but do whatever you've got. Yeah.
Yes. I'm just saying now that we canceled Facebook, I don't think anyone's going to.
Yeah, nobody's even listening. Yeah,
no one's even listening. Goldberg's listening.
Yeah, Goldberg.
He has a Google alert whenever he's on the podcast. Whenever he's mentioned on a podcast, it just plays on his Alexa. True story. It's a true story, Goldberg. That's why I didn't chirp him.
Right.
Right. All right. So 200 mils. That's it. Websites. Where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And you can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, a lot of photos this week, a lot of stuff from Goodwood up there. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.